Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Defeat in a row sees the Addicts drop into the bottom three for the first time this season with 9 games left to go. We stockpiled plenty of points at the start of the season, but we can't seem to panic by a win at this moment in time. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live on your Sunday evening from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me here in the studio to look back at yesterday's desperately disappointing 1-0 home defeat against Middlesbrough that sees us drop into the bottom three for the first time this season. Over on my right hand side, Mr. Terry Smith, how are you doing, Terrell?
Evening, well, you know, not brilliant, but all right.
Yeah, been better.
Well, obviously.
Not panicking just yet. You've been through it all before.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah. No, not panicking, not really. Yeah. Just disappointed, depressed. You know, the usual after-defeat nonsense. Yeah.
And another man who's been through quite a lot before, but not quite as much as Terry. On the left-hand side is Mark Newbury. How do you, Mark?
I'm okay. Had got a few relegations under my belt, but yeah, a few promotions as well, so can't complain.
It's not exactly something to be proud of, is it, having a few relegations under your belt? But unfortunately, it's something we'll have to admit to. So on this evening's show, we will look back at that defeat against Middlesbrough yesterday. We'll hear the highlights of the game. We're also here our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer after the match. We want to hear what you guys made of it as well. Let us know what you thought about the performance, who stood out for you, good or bad. What are your fears now that we've dropped into the relegation zone for the first time? Do you still think we can get out of it? What do you think we need to change? What do you think we need to do differently in order to get out of it? To contact the show, make sure you email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life Forum to have your say on this evening's show. We might also, if we get a little bit of time later on, talk about, just interesting that the ESI majority shareholder appears to be buying another club now, which had been rumoured for a while, Dynamo Bucharest. Tanun Namir was Instagrammed himself. He grassed himself up on the Instagram yesterday during the second half that he was arriving at the stadium over there in Bucharest. So we'll chat about that. Let us know if that's something that concerns you or not, really. It's hard to tell what to make of it so far, but if you want to talk about that as well, get in contact with the show. So, Tell, before we hear the highlights, or the low lights.
Is there any?
Yeah, I mean, we had a go in the second half. Couldn't break down Middlesbrough. Couldn't take one of the chances we created. But, I mean, it was an abject first half performance. Another gift of a goal, which is something we've been a little bit too generous with over the last few weeks. And it's put us right in the deep doo-doo.
Absolutely. I mean, the annoying thing about it is, unlike Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield, where we were up against teams that... on the day, actually, were better than us, and you could see they were as well. Even though, despite what had gone on before, they looked better than us. Whereas Middlesbrough, even though they harried and they closed us down, and they seemed up for the challenge, there wasn't a great amount of quality in the opposition, and that's the real frustration for me. It took us till about 35 minutes or so, half hour, 40 minutes, to change the shape. And once we changed the shape, we looked a better side, you know, when we went with the two up top. Don't know why it took that long to do that. But you're right, even though we huffed and puffed and put Middlesbrough under a fair bit of pressure, if Magaly Bond's header had gone underneath the goal, maybe we'd be slightly happier. Underneath the bar, rather, we'd be slightly happier. But overall, yeah, just disappointing. We just need to get a win somehow. You know what I mean? And Hull's obviously now yesterday was huge, but it pales into comparison to what next Saturday is going to be like. Because the worrying thing for me is that against teams in and around us, we haven't played well.
No.
Against teams far above us, we've done much, much better. So we've got three of those coming up as well. So hopefully, if all pans out accordingly, then we'll lose the ones that against the teams that are right beside us, and then beat the ones that we shouldn't.
Yeah, Terry bought a bunch of straws to clutch into the studio this evening. Interesting as well, Macaulay Bond's header going under the goal. I mean, the way we're playing at the moment, that would be a new way to miss, we'd probably find a way of doing it. Mark, you know, we are in that relegation zone now, first time this season. It doesn't really change anything other than the fact that you're now chasing. I mean, you just concentrate on winning your games, I guess, but it is psychologically, it's a hurdle, I guess.
It is. I mean, it's so tight at the bottom between sort of like us and the three teams above us. It's difficult. I mean, I said to you off air beforehand, the worrying thing was the way they looked at the final whistle, the body shape, the you know, I don't expect them to be laughing and joking, but they just look so defeated. And it's hard to think how Bowyer's going to manage to sort of like pick them up during the week. I mean, I'll get them training. But their whole body shape, you know, your body language just look. I mean, it was a cliche, but it was a game of two halves. The first half was, you know, the archetypal, that's why we deserve to go down. And the second half was, that's why we deserve to stay up for the way we played.
Other than not scoring, which is the third game in a row now as well, which, I mean, that's another concern. That's come at the wrong time.
Yeah, and it's. I think there's one or two issues we've got up front. You know, one of them, you know, and it's not going to be a popular opinion because it's Taylor. And I'm not convinced now that his head's where it should be.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
That performance against Luton a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, I know, but
you look at yesterday, after that issue in the penalty area, which I haven't seen, you know, you've may have seen a better thing about where he's gone down and the referee's given him a card for simulation. After that, there was sort of like nothing in him to say, well, I'm going to fight for things. Whereas Bond and sort of like Green, to an extent, was sort of like still trying to chase people down. And is it whether he just gone, you know what, I'm not going to get everything from this ref, I'm not going to give it. And it's not going to be sort of like popular opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not a popular one with me. I don't think that was the case. I mean, I think there was a little bit where we saw Taylor trying too hard to go and get the ball out wide quite often. I mean, even in the closing stages, I think it was part of the move that led to the header that went over for Bonn inside injury time. Taylor picked up the ball on the left-hand channel and then spread a glorious pass over to the right-hand side. I don't think his head wasn't in the right place. I think it was a case of he was getting frustrated that he wasn't getting a great deal of service, and he found himself further and further away from the goal to come in and try and get involved. That's the way I saw it. I mean, obviously, if people saw it differently or agree with Mark as well, make sure you get in contact with the show. But anyway, let's have a listen to the highlights before we go into debate things a little bit further. Your commentators over on Valley Pass, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
sends it forward. That's another great block, this time by Lapsley on Coulson, and it ricochets out to Andre Green on this right-hand side. Tanking down the right-hand side, he's well into now towards the penalty area. Ball into Taylor! Oh, he just lucky. Gets to it, but over Brilliant. The bar.
Very unlucky. That's great from Andre Green. Really, really good.
Throw from Perrington into Lapsley, goes back to the left-back corner. He goes to, gives the ball straight to Gested. Corner of the penalty area. Pierce in front of him, ball back across. Easy touch, easy goal. And it's McNair with the finish. And once again, Charlton, the architects of their own downfall.
It's just it's a horrible goal. It's a horrible goal for Charlton to concede. It's a throw-in in their own half. They go backwards to it. Breakdown of communication between Perrington and Lapsley. I think Perrington wanted to find Lapsley. Lapsley let the ball run towards Pierce. They're just overloaded in the box. A simple ball in and a simple finish. To be honest, I don't want to say it's been coming because it hasn't, but there have been glimpses of Charlton in possession inside their own half where they've looked nervy, a little bit sloppy, and they need to wake up the addicts. Jump from Cullen to Taylor. To Cullen, it's lovely. Cullen to left finds Andre Green. Green in the pound here. Green shoots straight to Stefanovic. Ball deflects down and Howson heads back to Stefanovic. And Middlesbrough roll it out to McNair.
Yeah, it's another good move from Charlton.
Charlton's best opportunity of the game. Williams cuts inside Tavernier, and there's the half-time whistle as Middlesbrough go into the break with a one-goal lead here at the Valley. It's not been a pleasant first 45 minutes for Lee Bowers' men.
With a little flick comes to Taylor.
Taylor with a shooting chance cuts inside as he's dragged down by Bakudi. Knows there's a referee and gives a free kick the other way.
He's going to book Taylor.
And Taylor's going to get booked for a dive. And Charlton are furious.
Well, people watching that on telly will probably be able to see that again. That'll be very interesting. And the reaction of Taylor and the other players around him, I don't think that was a dive. He may have made a meal of the challenge, but that's to be expected in the penalty box.
It's Charlton brought the ball out to the left-hand side and Williams. Williams chip ball in the box. Osolaja, the header. Straight out the goalkeeper. He did well to out-jump Shotton. And suddenly the Valley feels a little bit more rampant. Trying to hold up the ball. Lovely back heel to Cullen. He's being a two-player. It's a lovely ball. Back heel to Macaulay Bond. Bond has got options in the pound here. Ball across. Pally with the shot. Oh, it's wide. The ball to him wasn't the greatest. Prattley couldn't get under his feet. And that was a glorious chance.
Very glorious. I mean, that's superb football down this near. Through to Gested. And the ball into the box has found wing. Wings. Oh, straight at Dylan defending. Phillips. Good defending. Again from Matthews. Taylor still on for a ball. He gets it as well. Puts the ball into the box. Oh, it's a touch from Barney. He had all the time in the world. I don't think he realised it. Could have gone with his left, but could have taken the touch and then buried it with his right. He just tried to flick it past the keeper and only diverted it into his hands.
Yeah, it was almost a little bit too casual. I think he was expecting a challenge.
Yep.
And there's a great ball from Taylor. Sloppy defending from Middlesbrough, but Charlton should feel positive about these opportunities they're creating. It's just a matter of putting them in the net.
Ball upfield to wing. Wing little touch to Gested. Gested returns it to wing and he's edge of the penalty area now, but he's on his left foot. Takes a shot. Great save from Dylan Phillips. It comes straight back out to Tavernier. Tavernier back in the middle. Lovely and important touch by Pierce. And then Cullen swings it. 5 minutes of added time it is. Yes. Matthews gets in the way of the attempted ball down the line. It's gone out. Cullen finds Osolaja. Osolaja. Ball into the box. It's a good one. Ball's out! Oh! And he puts it over the bar and his head's in his hands.
That's the chance. That's the chance. Charlton have been craving. Great ball in from Osolaja. Bond jumps so well. He heads it. Oh. Such good connection. And it comes over.
There is the final whistle. And it's finished 1-0 here to Middlesbrough. And with all the positivity Charlton head coming into this game and the home form being crucial, it's one game less for Charlton to gain 3 points to get us away from the relegation areas.
Yeah, one game less left in the season, down to 9 games now. We're in the relegation zone after that performance yesterday. As Mark said, Tal, it's certainly afterwards. I mean, you can see by some of the photos that the photographers took yesterday, or just seeing the players walking off, that there was some looks of dejection. And, you know, I had the alarm bells ringing last week with the goals we conceded late on. I mean, it'll be another psychological blow, the fact that they did start to create chances in that second half, they're unable to take one, and they know that that's put them in a very difficult position now.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't quite have the same belief about body language at this stage as maybe others do. The last thing I want to see, if we've just lost 1-0 in a relegation scrap, is players skipping and dancing off the pitch with smiles on their faces. So I want them to be miserable. I want them to show that they care, and I think that's still the case. I don't really have a problem with them being, you know, being slopey shoulders and dejected off the pitch. In fact, that's exactly how I want them to be. Obviously, then you want them to react, and we're looking for a big reaction here at Hull. And strangely, I think because it's an away game, slightly less pressure potentially. And if we can play, it's easy to say because we said it again for the games against Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday as well. If we can play like we did against Forest, then we've got a reasonable shout, and we know we can. That's what they need to be drummed into. That's what needs to be drummed into the players. The ability's there. We know it. We've seen it. It's just a question of getting it harnessed and getting them to show it and display it and getting a win, however we do it. You know, it can be a 1-0 scrappy one right in the last minute off somebody's backside. I don't care. But it'll be huge next week if we can do that.
Yeah, but we won't be getting many if we keep giving away goals the way we have done. Gift-wrapped, unfortunately, recently, Mark. I mean, we saw the opening goal for Colin Grant up at Huddersfield last week, and then just another simple error today, yesterday with the ball between Perrington and Lapsley going astray, giving it straight to Gisted. He can square it from McNair, and it's a simple finish. I mean, how many times are they going to shoot themselves in the foot? That must be so frustrating for Lee Bowyer.
Well, it was too easy for them, wasn't it? I mean, you don't give Gisted and McNair that as a gift. They didn't really have to do anything to it. I mean, I read today that Bowyer said he wasn't particularly polite to Perrington in half time. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, if that happened down the park, you're playing with your mates, you would crucify them. You really would. And it was just, you know, and I think when Perrington starts having a go at Lapsley, I'm thinking, well, hold on a minute, mate. You're the one who's passed it straight to Gisted. And, you know, it was a good finish. Dylan couldn't do anything about it. You know, it was low, hard, right on the post. And like Bo said, you know, we're not good enough to give teams a one-goal start, especially teams who are fighting. I mean, like I say, and Borough didn't impress me one bit, really, yesterday.
Finishing was dreadful, wasn't it?
And
it's funny, I was in, I don't know if you were in the press conference when Jonathan Woodgate came in, and he was saying, oh, yeah, no, we were excellent. I thought we were absolutely excellent. I mean, what, we had 30, 40 shots at goal? He said, absolutely. Nobody, and I'm desperate to say it, but I couldn't, but nobody went, yeah, but hold on, 35 of them were in the back of the stand, you know, or scuffed off towards the corner flag.
Yeah. Go on, Mark.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, yeah. But they just seem to have a lot of success in individual battles in that first half. And you're thinking, you know, in that first half, maybe Matthews and Green, you know, were sort of like doing some stuff. And Matthews made a really good one to just to shepherd out before the guy behind him could poke it in. You know, first of all, I thought it had gone in from where I was sitting. But, you know, it was just too easy.
Mm. I mean, these errors then that have been, well, I can say creeping in, but have announced their arrival quite spectacularly in the last few weeks with goals. But it's been happening all season, if we're being honest. We've given away sloppy goals from errors. And, I mean, Bowyer said himself, you know, we're not good enough. I mean, is it realistically now, are we paying the price for what has been our recruitment strategy over the last few years, because we know we've always been on a small budget, yeah, and all of a sudden it's catching up with us because we're in the Championship and we're possibly playing with a lot of players that may not quite have been at the top of the many Championship shopping lists.
No, I think that's fair, and I think as willing and committed as the players are, that somebody sent a tweet in yesterday during the commentary and said, you make those mistakes last year in League One, you get away with it. 9 times out of 10, not all the time, but 9 times out of 10, you make a mistake in this division, you're punished immediately, and we have been regularly. I mean, it's a pass that Perrington thinks Lapsley's staying where he is. Lapsley's thinking, I need to move into space, so he's going to give me it there, and he ends up giving it straight to Gisted. It's just schoolboy stuff, isn't it? But you know, I guess that it's the sort of pressure, and mistakes come when you're under that sort of pressure. You know, pressure not to make mistakes makes you make mistakes.
Yeah, well, I just wonder if it's another example of, again, what I thought last week was a player looking to try and take the easy way out. You know, Lapsley gave it to Oshalaja, who was the nearest person to him at Huddersfield, when realistically he was under pressure, but it was an easy pass. Purrington, rather than turning, seeing if he can get a ball forward, looks for an easy way out. And even then getting it wrong, and that's putting us on the back foot. So maybe it is that pressure that we're finding ourselves under over the last few weeks. But that we've been put under that pressure by the form that Wigan have shown, and other sides in and around us getting wins when, I mean, even we had a few wins, but the fact that they were keeping it up has clearly added on to the pressure that we're finding ourselves under. And that seems to be getting to our players more so than say, the Wigan players or the Stoke players.
It is, but I mean, I think what it is, obviously, opposition managers do what we do. We watch a few games of the opposition, see what their strengths and weaknesses are, and they identify ours week in, week out, and say, you know what, if you push up on their midfield, push them closer towards their back four and don't let them pass it, they try and pass it and we're going to panic and we'll get the ball, we'll pick up the second ball, and it's too often. And I think we're easy to play against now. I think, you know, as well as Bowyer says he likes to try and change his formations, I still think at a base level we're too easy to play against. I think I could manage a team to beat us from seeing our weaknesses, you know, and I'm thinking I'm a 50-year-old chef, and yeah, I can do that. So obviously opposition managers are going to look and say, right, weakness, weakness, weakness here. Let's push on them, push on them, push on them. We will get our rewards in the end.
I think that's happened, and I agree with you, by the way. I think that's happened more so since January, since we lost a very key player for us. And I'm not talking about the player individually, particularly himself in Conor Gallagher. I'm talking about that sort of player in that position who hounded everybody on the ball in that sort of forward position. And we don't have that now. I mean, if you look at the last three games, you had McNair yesterday, you had Bannon for Sheffield Wednesday. I'm trying to think who the guy at Huddersfield was. O'Neill, was it? I think it was. They ran the show from that defensive midfield point, which is something that we were doing when Conor Gallagher was in the side. We had players like Cullen, but when he was injured, other players, Prattley, who were able to dictate from a point of space, because you had players around them causing the opposition, or not allowing the opposition to have that sort of freedom and that room. And we haven't got that at the moment. And we've got to find a way, I think. And if we can't play that diamond because we haven't got that player, then that's something we've got to look at, I think. But it's a real big miss. I mean, other than the fact his energy and his goals, you know, you put that to one side, just somebody to have that space. And I personally think Williams should be the man. You know, he's wasted out wide. I think Cullen's wasted out wide as well, by the way. But somebody to occupy that sort of forward midfield position to stop their midfield dominating us the way they are.
I mean, you can see Bowyer tried to sort of counteract that yesterday with a change in formation. Yeah. Well, even in the first half, he went for the 4-1-4-1. So he tried to get the best of both worlds in terms of a packed midfield with also someone protecting the defence in Prattley. But I mean, it didn't last. I don't think we've tried too often this season. In the end, he changed it before half time. So I mean, you can see he's trying to find different ways to get a bit of a tune out of his side. But he must be frustrated that he hasn't quite found the one that will click at the moment.
True, but I think Lapsley yesterday, I wasn't surprised at half-time. I'd called it that. I thought he would go off. I thought he just looked a touch lost to his position because it wasn't getting the best out of what he can do. Personally, and also, I don't know if it was mentioned in the press conference about Pierce being injured in a warm-up, but he obviously struggled warm-up, and like Jacko had pulled him out and said, right, you just stand there and... But also, I'd have played Prattley at centre-half alongside Pierce and put Oshilaja in the midfield because I just think he's slightly more athletic. But it was, you know, yeah, he's changed it, but it was just wrong. You know, I just thought it was an imbalance in that side yesterday. So...
I mean, you mentioned then the centre-half pairing of Prattley and Oshilaja, of Pierce and Oshilaja. I don't think that's ever going to be our first choice centre-half pairing. And Lockyer is back next week at the end of his suspension. Hopefully Naby as well. If not, at Hull, he'll be back for Tuesday against QPR. So, I mean, that could be something that could give us a bit of a lift, hopefully, before next week.
Oh, fingers crossed, yeah. And you know, who would have said that we would have missed Lockyer and Naby Sarr at the beginning of the season? But we have. You know, I like Desi Oshilaja. I think he's 100% commitment and... couple of times yesterday he got us out of some holes, but there is that just sort of positional weakness you find. I mean, when that mistake happened with Lapsley and Purrington, it sort of dragged Pierce out to try and stop Gusted from trying to get the cross in. That leaves a massive hole in the middle. Nobody picked up Tavernier running in, of course, but you know, we just seem to, because of obviously it's because of mistakes, but we seem, you know, the current centre half pairing just seem to get dragged out of their natural positions far too often now. Whether that's because maybe the midfield's not operating as it should, and so they're trying to fill too many holes, I don't know. But and it could be that, you know, Lockyer and Sarr come in and exactly the same problem still exists. So, you know, we've got to address the way that, in my opinion anyway, the last three games for sure, we've been dominating midfield to a point where, you know, the defence is playing wall ball a lot of the time. It's coming back. It certainly didn't. I mean, that first half yesterday, certainly the first 35, 40 minutes or so, was as bad as it was away at Middlesbrough and Stoke. You know, and that's not, I've never said that at the Valley before now, but you know, we just seemed completely disjointed yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that
first off,
that's clearly a concern, is the fact that we were sort of clinging on to the fact that our home form wasn't actually too bad. I think we, before yesterday, we'd only had one defeat in seven championship games at the Valley. You were hoping that we could sort of build upon that and to put in that display in the first half, booed off at half-time. I can't remember the last time that happened at the Valley. I mean, that again is another bit of a warning sign for us, because the position in which we felt reasonably comfortable at home, all of a sudden that's sort of been taken away from us as well now.
Well, like I say, I'm just going to reiterate, I think, you know, we're easy to play against now. You're saying about the centre-halves being pulled out. I would tell my opposition forwards, you know, don't stay where you are, pull out slightly, you said, because it's going to cause confusion, it's going to leave gaps for midfield coming through. Yeah, I'm not surprised the crowd were booing, because I think anyone who's watched that first half, that you couldn't see a positive from that. I mean, I know he's changed it towards the end, you know, but there was too much distance between Green and Taylor and Williams. And when they did get the ball, there was not enough support for them. And then, like I say, it's just coming straight back. And like Terry said, it's just the defence then just knocking it out and trying to see, right, who can I hit? Who's looking for it? And there wasn't anyone making space. And it's hard, because you can see they're trying, you know, to whatever level they can reach. But there's not it's going to sound harsh, there's not a thinker on there. I mean, I think Odsuma's probably the closest we've got to that person who can get on a ball and look for a spray, a pass, and stuff like that. And obviously, he wasn't there yesterday. Williams, to an extent, but there's not a thinker. I mean, a Klaus Jensen, you know what I mean when I say that.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Someone who gets a ball, and you think to yourself, my goodness, that guy's got so much time on the ball to look up, to look around, to hit a shirt. I mean, you're saying about Purrington, you expected Lapsley to be in position. When I played football, I always used to sort of look for the guy who was wearing the same colour shirt as me and try and pass the ball to there, not to space, as it were. So it was difficult yesterday. I mean, it's hard to polish that first half.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let's try and lift our spirits a little bit with the second half. And I'm going to upset Spaced Out Cat, who's just tweeted in saying, every week you guys try and be positive and look at reasons why we might win the next one, then we promptly go and lose. Maybe if you all predict a complete stuffing at Hull, then we might stand a chance. Okay, I'm mildly superstitious. But the positive I will take is clearly, again, we improved a bit after the second half started. We created a few openings. I mean, on another day, we probably should have scored. I mean, we can't forget that Middlesbrough were having chances on the counter-attack, because we'd left ourselves so open in our desperation to go forward. But, I mean, we saw opportunities for Prattley. We saw that header from Oshalaja. Prattley's one was side-footed home. Bond a chance where he sort of toe-poked it with almost his back to goal, when if he'd realised how much space he had, he could have taken a touch. And then, of course, that header late on for Bond in injury time. There were opportunities, and they did show some fight. And if we are going to, you know, we're all a bit doom and gloom because we've just dropped into the relegation zone. Well, let's, you know, we do need to remember there's 9 games left, and they showed a little bit of something that there's still something there that we can cling on to, surely.
Oh, I think you're right, and you know, I know that we are, I guess by nature I'll try and look at the positives, and that's just the way I am. But
the show would be awful if we didn't.
Well, exactly that as well, yeah. But you know, until it's mathematically impossible, until, you know, while it's still on our hands as well, by the way, and we have got to go and play Hull, we have got to play Wigan, so it's still in our hands, our fate. And while that is still the case, I'm still clinging to the fact that we can get out of this. And as you say, the second half performance was still as frustrating, because we didn't convert any of them. We didn't convert the chances we created. And if we don't give away sloppy goals, it may be that Middlesbrough would have had to push out a little bit more and left a few more gaps behind them. But I don't know whether he'll start with Bon and Taylor up front against Hull. I'd like to see it, but away from home, I'm not sure. It's again, though, we've said it already countless times. It's what he does in that midfield, I think, is the key, and how we set ourselves up in midfield. Because you know the Huddersfield game showed us that he brought in McGeady, he brought in Ozturma in that midfield, thinking that that creativity that we'd been lacking would come from them. And whilst they're both good ball players. The sort of gaps that we were leaving behind them were huge, and Huddersfield just picked us off, albeit we gifted them two of the goals. But so I think I think Bowie is really trying to find a formula in the squad he's got to try and make it work.
I mean, how he attacks that game next week will be interesting, because I mean, this is a whole side that have lost 9 of their last 11 in the Championship and drew the other two. Surely if there's a team that's vulnerable, I mean, they've shipped 9 goals in the last 2 games. On paper, that sounds like a team that if we can go and attack, we can try and take advantage of their nervousness.
I think if you hark back to every single game that I'll be mentioning to Sheffield Wednesday, I'm convinced if we'd have scored first in all of those games, we'd have probably gone on and won it. Because even Sheffield Wednesday, I mean, the fans were nervous. It was so quiet at that place. I think if we'd have got the first goal there, different story. If Taylor's shot had gone under the bar instead of Cannon off it, who knows? But, you know, Huddersfield, slightly different. But even them, you know, yes, they picked us apart, especially, but two of them were in the last 5 minutes. You know, again, I think if we'd have scored, equalised or gone in front, may have been a different story. And yesterday, if we'd have scored first, I think Middlesbrough would have probably folded. And I think Hull is an absolutely nailed on for that. But we got to score first.
Mm.
And sadly, in all of those games I've just mentioned, we never looked likely to. So that's the problem.
Yeah, well, there are plenty of problems going around. There were a couple of penalty shouts yesterday, which we haven't touched upon yet. Lyle Taylor booked for diving at one point after a challenge which apparently was actually outside the penalty area. There's another one where a corner came over and Taylor seemed to be involved in some sort of grappling by the goal line where he went down. I mean, Mark, you would have had the best views of both of those because you're right behind that goal.
Yeah, the his first one, our original shout was penalty, and then the referee was very quick with his yellow to say that was a dive, as it were. And when you saw Taylor's reaction after that, it was just like incredulous, not the kind of like
sheepish. That's his reaction to most things, to be
true. The penalty on the line, it's, I don't know why he doesn't go and say, you know what, I'm going to try and win the header. He can try and annoy their goalkeeper and a centre-half all he likes. He's not going to score. And if he's going to be trying to draw fouls, he's not going to get any sympathy from the referee, who's already thinking, you know, he's already got one eye to go down and you know, not cheat. Cheat's the wrong word, but gain an advantage. But then again, the linesman's looking straight across at it, and you're thinking, you know, is he going to give it one way or another? I think we're clutching a touch at Terry Straws if we're going for those ones, for the Pens.
Well, I think the first, I mean, it was outside the box as we subsequently found, but the referee thought it was in the box.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a foul. So if it's definitely a foul, and he thought he was inside the box, he should have given the penalty. But probably Lyle's reputation precedes him in that respect. I don't know if you also noticed yesterday, the whole game, not just at the Middlesbrough, but every corner, the referee allowed so much contact, it was unreal. Dylan Phillips was almost being dragged to the floor every single corner. And he just allowed it to happen.
You think they'd be hotter on that at the moment with the coronavirus stuff going around? So, interesting, wasn't it? The lack of handshakes before, when the players lined up and then the referee blew his whistle, they wandered away, didn't do the handshake, and they all started hugging and kissing each other anyway, and they'd do a good luck to each other. But there we go. Right, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in a few seconds' time. Don't forget, we want to hear from you guys as well. Let us know what you made of yesterday's performance and the relegation battle that we find ourselves well within, unfortunately, at the moment. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum. So, Lee Bowyer came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's game. The Addicts boss felt his side shot themselves in the foot once again.
Yeah, I thought that we looked like the team that was going to be the one that scored, I felt. I think Andre had a couple of chances, didn't he? But then we just gifted them a goal. Like this, again, same as last week, can't be giving teams, I've said this, can't be giving teams 1-0 leads. Like, it's just like amateur stuff like that. It was just, last week and this week. It's just, you can't keep doing that. If we ain't good enough to give teams 1-0 leads, we're not. It's as simple as that. So we can't be doing that. And then second half, changed things around. Second half, I thought we was better. Again, I thought we was better than them, and we create good chances. Like, we have to score. I don't think we deserve to come away with nothing, but that's what we've got, and we have to go again. But we have to stop making these stupid mistakes, because it's so frustrating for me, because I can't control that. You know, I just said something to Jacko in there, like, and I said it to a couple of fans before the game. You can't control mistakes like that, and we have to stop making them.
Do you think mistakes like that are symptomatic of where we are in the table and the nervousness that comes with it and the players?
Yeah, well, I can't put my finger on it, because it's a simple 10-yard pass. I see him do it every day in training. How many times have you seen him do it? Like, you make it every day. He's made more passes, more difficult passes since that mistake, you know? And I understand, listen, they're human, they make mistakes. But not them ones. And
is it sometimes down to decision making? I'd listened to Jonathan Woodgate in there, and he said about they deliberately pressed as high and as fast and as quickly as they could. Mm. And it's that split decision making where you go for a pass when you should be hitting Rose Ed.
Yeah, well, that's what happened last week, wasn't it? Deji's one. He knew from a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old that you, if you're in trouble like that, you just clear your lines. Deji knows that, and he didn't last week. So it is split-second decisions, and that's the difference when you play at the top, and then you filter down. It's because the ones at the top, their decision-making is a lot better.
Puts us, unfortunately, in the bottom three for the first time, and so, I mean, psychologically, hopefully that won't affect the players as well, but, I mean, you don't need saying that. You know, 9 games now, huge, every single one probably, no more so than next week at Hull.
Yeah, massive. Massive, and hold the next one, and we have to go there and win. It's as simple as that. We have to go there and win, in my eyes. Next week I think is bigger than this week.
You made changes before the game. You also made changes in the game, and we were certainly better after the change. You changed the shape slightly in the end of the first half, and then personnel in the second, and we were much better in that period. Likely to make them again to try and shake it up, or...
Yeah, just trying to find ways, you know, like to win games. It's not easy. Like, when we match teams up, very, very rarely do we win. And that makes it difficult, because you have to then find a different way and play a different formation to whoever you're playing. So every single time we play, near enough every time, you have to try and find a different formation that can stop them from hurting you, and then you hurting them. Because when we match teams up, we don't win.
We had a couple of penalty shouts, certainly in that second half, both on Lyle Taylor. First one he got booked for. Second one was just waved away anyway. But any thoughts on whether, I mean, we at first glance they both looked decent shouts. Did you have a chance to look at them?
Yeah, so Lowell's, the first one when he got booked for diving, it was a foul, but it was a foul outside the box. So it wasn't a penalty. It was outside the box, but it was a foul, and it wasn't a dive. So that's the first one. Second one, I think it's a bit of grappling in the box, but that happens everywhere now, and you don't get penalties for them, do you, really?
Well, the referee was allowing it to go on to Dylan Phillips all game long, so yeah. We weren't expecting it, to be
no,
fair.
No. Again, decisions like that, we don't tend to get, do we? So, no.
Got a comment on the match report when we were commentating that we seem to do better against the top six sides rather than the bottom six. Now, we've obviously got 2 more games against teams in the bottom six. Are you more looking forward to playing teams further up the table?
Yeah. Well, looking back at it, like our results, then you'd rather be playing them better sides. But we doesn't matter who you're playing, everybody's fighting for something at the moment. So every team we've got to play is fighting for something. But Hull next, if we beat them, we're level or point behind them, and then they're in it. you know, like, so that we've got to play Brentford, they're going for playoffs, we've got for promotion, sorry, you've got Leeds for promotion, like everyone, all them sides that we're playing. So but no easy ones. Cardiff, they'll be pushing for playoffs. Still enough points to be won. So yeah, there's no easy game, trust me.
And that'll be the message, I guess, going forward. Still 9 games to go, still plenty of points to be won.
Yeah,
and it's still in our hands.
Yeah, we could easily go and crash bang wallop and win the next 3. Like, that's what we're capable of doing. So yeah, we have to believe and keep fighting. And there's no way I'm gonna quit and I'm gonna shy away, because that's not the person I am. I walk around the pitch, like, clap the fans after. Most people wouldn't do that because you just lost, but I do that every single time because I think that's the right thing to do. The fans win, lose or draw, they sing their hearts out, and I'll always appreciate that and show my appreciation. So I want to thank them for coming again today and singing and getting behind the players. Second half, we was the better side because they could have easily have gone the other way, but they didn't, and they got behind them, and that kept pushing us. Unfortunately for us, we didn't get that goal. Yeah, I think if we'd have got a goal first 15-20 minutes of the second half, I think we'd have gone on and won the game, but we didn't take none of them chances, and that's very frustrating for me.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Cullen has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
All right, so welcome back. This is Charlton Live, coming to you live from the Valley on your Sunday evening. We just heard from Ali Bowyer after he came to give us an exclusive interview after yesterday's 1-0 defeat against Middlesbrough here in SE7. He's a bit down, obviously, Tell, but you know, he's going to fight on. He's frustrated, confused by these mistakes that his team's making. He said he can't put his finger on it, and it is tough, really, isn't it? I mean, we've suggested it might be a little bit the pressure or a little bit trying to play safe that they keep creating these problems for themselves. But I mean, as a manager, it's something. I don't know how much control you can have over that.
Well, none, basically. I mean, you can do all the preparation you like pre-game all week. You work on set plays, tactics, how you press or what you do at free kicks and set pieces. You can do all of that. You can say, right, you've got to mark this player. I want you to mark him out of the game. Do all of that. But if you gift a goal every single game and through just, I don't know, a lack of concentration or lack of ability, I don't know, either one. But, you know, what can you do? As a manager, there's absolutely zero you can do. Other than potentially, right, you're not playing next week. I'm going to put somebody else there. But we haven't even got that luxury in abundance, have we? So, yeah, it's. I mean, it must be really tough. Well, we know it is. I mean, it's tough for us looking on. But to try and manage it and, you know, you do all that preparation, then it's all undone within the space of, you know, one mistake. And then it's a real uphill struggle after that. So, yeah. He gave the you know, you could tell by the interview, you know, he's definitely straight after the game. I mean, he must have been crestfallen, and so he's got to pick himself up, and then the rest of the squad.
Yeah, so let's have a look at that league table then. So we're 22nd now, inside the relegation zone on 39 points. We're 2 points behind Hull City, who we play next Saturday. They've not won in, what did I say, 11 championship games, in which they've lost 9 of those.
Can you stop saying that?
Just reading out the facts. Wigan also 2 points ahead of us. I'm surprised it's only 2 points, actually, because Wigan seem to be winning every bloody week at the moment. But it just shows how far behind they were and how far... I mean, I must have written them off at times. I mean, also, something that is interesting that came out of yesterday's press conference was Bowie was talking about how there's 3 or 4 teams battling to avoid that one place, effectively already saying that Luton and Barnsley are down. Now, just while I sit here, I've noticed a Luton Town fans account on Twitter giving it the big one, saying, Lee Bowyer saying that Luton are already relegated. I mean, they're sitting only 4 points behind us. They could be above us in 2 weeks. That's something that the Luton fans are going to try and use as a bit of motivation for themselves, isn't it? I mean, it's an interesting point, but I've been guilty of writing off Luton and Barnsley and Wigan already this season, and they've come back to make me look silly, in particular Wigan so far. So anything can change in 2 weeks, Mark. We've got to be careful about that.
Oh, true. I mean, but I think, it's so hard not to speak in a cliche, but you can only control what you do. You know, you can't really start worrying, oh, but if this team beat this team and that team beat that team. It's all ifs and buts. All you can sort of say, you know what, so what if Wigan or Luton win their last ones, we have to do that anyway. You know, we can't say, well, we don't think they're going to win, so we're not going to take it as easy. We have to go into every game with a mentality of we can't lose, we must win. You know, if we don't win, we get a point, something. You know, and worrying about what other teams are doing. Like you say, it's weird because you're right about Wigan, because it did seem like they were winning all the time, but they must have been quite a way behind to get those points up. But it is tight up there, like Bo said, you know, that teams will be dragged into it. You know, and I think with Hull losing their best two players, you know, that's affected them in a big style.
Oh, yes.
Again, Borough did not impress me one iota yesterday. They put the ball in the back of the net, which we didn't do. But apart from that, I think they're one of the worst teams to come down here. Huddersfield, they've got strikers, so they can win 1 week, lose 1 week. I think they're pretty okay. You know, Stoke again, they won. So it is tough. I think it is one space now. So...
Well, the fixtures next week are interesting, though, because while we're playing Hull, of course, which both of us are in that position, Huddersfield are playing Wigan, so they both can't win. Mm. So,
I did this the other day. I went through the fixture days for the rest of the season now, because obviously yesterday there was 6 of the bottom 7 playing each other. Mm. It's only the final weekend of the season now where there isn't at least one clash between two sides within that bottom 6 or bottom 7. So there will always be at least one team that won't be able to pick up points. The problem we've got at the moment is that makes very little difference when we're not picking up any points anyway. Right, just before we get into the tweets and the emails and whatnot that have come in and the forum posts and find out a bit more about how the listeners are feeling, I just want to talk about something else that came up. Just as I was sat in the studio after yesterday's game, feeling a bit disappointed about the fact that we've dropped into that relegation zone. It was pointed out to me that on Twitter, on Instagram, Tanun Namir, the majority shareholder of ESI, had announced that he was at Dynamo Bucharest, the side that he'd been linked with a takeover. It's something that had been mentioned for a while. And basically put it on his Instagram that he was there. So you'd assume that if he's not got the deal over the line just yet, which I don't think he has, then he's pretty much there, the Romanian side. What do you make of that? I mean, is it something you worry about, something you don't care about? I mean, it's been made quite clear when this rumour first came out a while ago that it's not ESI, the entity ESI, but obviously the major player in ESI is Tanun Namir. Without Tanun Namir, there's no ESI because we ain't on paper got any money. There's obviously not been a great deal of the proof that we got any money yet anyway, but do you worry, do you find that interesting, does you not care, how do you feel about that, Mark?
I care about that as much as I care about things on Love Island and rubbish like that. It doesn't bother me.
Do care about Love Island.
I know, yeah. But that's depressing as well. No, it doesn't bother me. You know, the guy's minted and he wants to buy clubs. He obviously had this in the pipeline at the same time as he was looking at us, so it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, I don't know if he wants to do the Roland route of buying clubs in every and having sort of like a network of clubs that
club
way.
Club in every port.
But if he does, he's behind Steaua Bucharest, or a decent, you know,
Dynamo Bucharest.
Dynamo Bucharest. You know, a club with some history. So I don't think it affects us one way or another. And if it's the same as going out. If when you're that rich, it's probably the same out of going a new pair of trainers.
I guess the one thing that people have suggested is obviously we haven't really spent... I mean, Jonathan Woodgate said it himself. Lee Bayer hasn't been backed financially the entire time he's been here. And whether Woodgate himself includes the January transfer window where we didn't spend any money, but we bought in some loan additions. At the same time, if you're not spending money on players in January, and I know it's a difficult window... some people might say we've got the money to go and buy a club elsewhere or to start funding a club elsewhere. That's one potential conflict of interest there, I guess.
I think the only thing that concerns me, and I'm a similar position to Mark in as much as that, you know, if he goes out and buys 20 clubs, why should we care? You know, as long as he pays attention to this one enough and gives us enough backing, then I don't care how many clubs he's got. And that was the same with the previous owner, to be fair, but look how that went.
Mm.
So... the only thing that I think concerns me is that theoretically, or actually factually, he hasn't actually bought us as such. The club, he's bought the entity of Charlton Athletic, but the football club, football ground, and the training ground is still yet to be paid
still
for,
Roland's,
as it were.
Yeah.
So ask me again after June, June, July, when that's supposed to be settled. And if it is, then I'll have absolutely no cares whatsoever. If it isn't, and the money that probably should have come to us to pay for those entities have been used to pay for Dynamo Bucharest, then I'll be slightly more more miffed.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. And I imagine, because of what we've been through over the last few years, it's certainly one that rings alarm bells. I will say, I imagine the timing of the Instagram post wasn't ideal because
we just dropped into the relegation zone,
but that's the way things go. Right, let's have a listen, a look at some of the messages that have come in then. And Phil was the first one in last night. Says, hi guys, I can't see us getting out of this hole now. The January transfer window under ESI just completed the mess that Du Châtelet had left us in. With the news that ESI are buying a Dynamo Bucharest, well, that's not quite right. It's Tunun rather than ESI, apparently. Starting to believe that we're no better off. Southall and ESI have a lot of explaining to do. Or won't be buying a season ticket if we get relegated unless I see real investment in both the playing squad and the training ground. That's from Phil. Cheers for that, Phil. And then Doogie says, evening chaps, I've taken a while to unwind after yesterday, especially after a 450-mile round trip, as all home games are. That's a long one. Frustrated that every game seen recently, we are always set up wrong from the start. After 20 minutes or so, Bayer changes it and we seem much better. Trouble with this is that we give our opponents a foothold in the game and it helps their confidence. Yesterday, again, undone by our own mistakes. Still had chances in the second half, especially, but too little was too late. Better performance in the Huddersfield game, but still a long way from earlier season form. Bond made a difference and would certainly prefer him to Green, who seems low on confidence. Referee was not the best, but no excuses there. On to Hull, this is now our cup final. Yeah, cheers for that, Doogie. I mean, so interesting points from Phil from Elton just before then. I mean, anyone who looks at social media, which is obviously a breeding ground for all sorts of stuff, but I mean, Phil has echoed a sentiment that's been shared by a few people yesterday. I mean, obviously, there's certainly people with the other viewpoint that they're not panicking yet, or they're not too upset yet, but there are some people a bit disappointed with what's gone in January and how that's affected the rest of the season so far.
I can understand that. I think that's more naivety in the way it was handled rather than anything sinister. But that's my hope as much as belief. So because, you know, January transfer windows notoriously are horrible anyway, and probably everybody we tried to get were overpriced. I know there were a few close calls. We didn't get who we wanted to get, by all accounts. No particular names given, but that was the stories coming out. So, yeah, I just think the announcements of what we were going to do probably didn't help. It didn't help. Almost certainly didn't help. So I think that's just a little bit naivety, I'd like to think, rather than anything sinister.
Well, also, your view on it, Mark, because obviously, like I said, Phil was quite disappointed. I noticed a lot of tweets aimed towards the current ownership now, which is obviously something we've seen a lot over the last few years with the previous ownership. Too early to tell. Alarm bells ringing about some of the stuff that's that you've heard or read?
No, I think it's too early to tell. I think there was an article in the Voice yesterday saying about the January transfer window and which clubs did what kind of business, and no one did anything spectacular. We were pretty much average amongst that. You know, you did wonder, you know, I think people put two and two together and made 6 million because they looked, oh, you know, we've got this really rich inventor. We can get all these players, you know, they've got, well, we talked about this before. They've got to be the right fit. Bowyer's got to want them. Gallen's got to want them. And they've got to want to come here. We've got to offer what it is. You know, obviously, a few of these players read that and thought, you know what, I'm going to ask for more money, price themselves out of moves here. You know, we've got what we've got now, and you do what we do with it. I think the expectation level was probably raised higher than it should have been. I think a lot of people, and it's going to sound, and it's not supposed to be patronising, a younger breed of fan sees that money and goes, oh, we can buy this player, this player, this player. Whereas possibly Terry and myself go, you know what, it's not going to happen like that. You know, and so at the end of it, I think I agree with Terry. I think you wait till the summer, you know, A, depending what division we're in, and then see what investment comes in, and then see and look at it from with a clear perspective then, and say, right, they've had 6 months, they've had two windows, where are we, you know, where are we planning for, what we're looking for, and that's a way to look at it. I think everything now is just too much to say, oh, we didn't buy three centre-halves, two strikers, a midfield player. You know, yep, we didn't. So, and you can't go back in time. There's no DeLorean. No,
exactly. I also think that, you know, extenuating circumstances ought to be taken into account as well. I mean, nobody would have foreseen us losing Conor Gallagher in the way we did. And I think most people would probably agree if we'd still had Conor in the side, we probably wouldn't be where we are now.
Yeah, I think that's, well, you'd hope so anyway. But anyway, right, if James tweets in, they say, give it time to digest after the game. Well, 1 hour and 8 minutes, that was enough. He obviously sent this yesterday. What we saw today was hopeless. We're never going to score. To be fair, Borough were gifted their goal. We at this stage should be grinding out positive results. I don't care how they come, just don't lose. We absolutely have to win at Hull and hope that others slip up. It's in our hands. We keep focus, which we weren't today. And with 9 to go, we can still do it. It's not lost, it's not all lost, not a chance. We need to stay together. Cheers for that. Ev Paul says tonight's Charlton Live is going to need to be 4 hours long. I'm gutted.
Steady.
Yeah, I'm gutted. And he says, I'm gutted, but I'm right that ESI are nothing but useless. I called it from the off. All lies. What a shame. But did we really think that Roland would sell to anyone good? That's from Paul Williams yesterday. Cheers for that, Paul. Yeah, a bit of a to and fro there. And then Mitch, another one who had a long journey. Mitch had a 568-mile round trip. And I saw this tweet yesterday, so I looked up where he lives. He lives just outside Middlesbrough.
Oh, ouch.
Saltburn, I think it was called. So, yeah, I wouldn't fancy he's going to have a difficult week. Depressed drive back and thinking that it's time somebody told Lee that diamonds aren't forever. I've got to go to work in Middlesbrough on Monday. And Hemed is nicking a living. Man in Pants says there was not a lot going on in my pants today, more, though, than there was going on in Jason Pierce's head for the first 30 minutes. Rob says, under Roland, we found out within weeks he was clueless and dangerous. We have to hold fire and just concentrate on backing the team. Mistakes will be made, but ESI are not Roland, so we have to give them some time. There's a plan, and we need to know it, yes, but let's not implode. James said, I was frustrated with yesterday's game, but it's still in our hands. The squad is good enough to stay up. The 11 players that start each game need to fight for the club, and that was what was missing yesterday. Anthony says, for those of you who are old enough, I'm amazed how similar our past is to now. And this is a name that came up a while ago, actually, Terry, and I'm going to need you to remind me how to pronounce it. Mark, the former owner, Mark
Hullier.
Mark Hullier, yeah.
Hullier, yeah. So Anthony says he feels there's a similarity between Mark and the new ownership. I mean, can you see anything in that? Yeah, I mean, is it still
that's
too
a difficult
early?
One to call. I mean, Mark came in. I remember Mark Hullier coming in, and he was seen as a saviour. He sadly couldn't also buy the actual ground. And
so this is what left us leaving.
Ultimately, but plus he wanted to turn it around, and he had all the best intentions. Mark Hullier, I'm absolutely certain of it. And bought in Alan Simonson, which in itself probably crippled us as well. The money that we had to spend on getting Alan Simonson in, who was, by the way, outstanding. But yeah, I mean, I think I don't know. It's difficult to say. I'd say probably not. I think Mark Hullier was, I think, I'm sure he was a Charlton fan, actually, and so had all the best intentions.
His son's still knocking about. Does the van videos.
So, oh, is it? Oh, okay.
That's him, yeah. I assume it's his son, yeah. He's definitely a relative.
You know, and did it with all the right intentions. And what is similar is that we were desperate to get rid of the Glicksteins. And Mark Hullier came in and was seen as our saviour to do that. And so in that respect, in the same way as ESI have come in, and we were desperate to get rid of Du Châtelet, so in that's where it's similar, because you know, you're desperate for change, and we've got that. Whether we should be quite jumping on the throats of our new ownership just yet is probably a moot point. I wouldn't personally, you know, I was the same with every other fan. I thought when Mark Hullier came in, it was great, absolutely great, and it was the dawn of a new era. Sadly, it didn't go quite according to his plans.
Yeah, well, London Geezer says a lot of fans are now questioning the owners. Some either saying that we were better off under Du Châtelet, what are your views, Mark? Well, that could be a good way for you to end the show. Did you feel that? Do you think that's a slight overreaction?
Yeah, I mean, what is it? 3 months they've had us now, isn't it? Officially, since they took over.
Yeah, well, January 2nd, was it?
Yeah, and we're in March now. And like I say, when you go online, and like I say, social media is terrible. And I feel a bit sorry for people who always tag Matt Southland to everything, all their comments. I'm thinking he's been pretty engaging. He hasn't hidden anywhere. You know, he's engaged with fans, he's engaged with people. And I think it's too early for people to be saying, you know, we were better off under Rowland. I'm thinking, no, we weren't. 6,000 of us stood in the car park wanting Rowland out. You know, so I don't think this... I think it's the expectation level was just too high too soon for some people. And they just looked at it and just went, oh, well, we've got to blame somebody. So, no, I don't think that at all.
Mm.
I mean, like Terry says, you know, you don't want to be proved wrong. But I think I'm more than willing to give them a chance, because after what we've gone through for the last X amount of years under Rowley.
Right, so. Excellent. Well, that's a good way for you to end your stint on the show, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Has to leave after an hour. Thanks for coming in, Mark.
No, you're welcome. And can I just say good morning to the Auckland Addicts?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I know there's a few of them who listen live first thing in the morning in the kitchens.
Cool, what a miserable start to the week that will be.
I know. And I always say that.
You should apologise as well.
The other side of the world. You're in a better place than you were than being in the valley on the first 45 minutes on Saturday.
Yeah, excellent. Right, well, cheers for coming in, Mark, and we shall see you soon. We're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Driving forward, maybe so. Still on it now. Chip ball, looking for the run-up from Williams. What a good ball that is. What a great run from Williams. Charlton trying to get in the box. There's McCauley.
Yes! Oh,
what a goal!
What a finish!
That's a superbly worked move by Charlton. Great ball by Nabi Sarr to pick out the run of Williams. A great run by Williams. Ball into the box. Behind a little bit. The Derby defenders trying to make it back. McCauley Bond met it on the full and struck it past Kelroos, who had no chance. And after 6 minutes, Charlton are a goal up.
All right, so welcome back. This is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. Mark Newbury has left the building. He's on his way home, but the show goes on. I was going to look at some of the messages that came in on the forum as well. Muzza says that we looked scared yesterday. The passing had no pattern of play. When we did get into good positions, the players took an extra touch and the chance was gone. Apart from two tame shots, Borough's goalie didn't really have to make a save. The crossing was poor as well. Purrington gifted Middlesbrough the goal. The rest of the defence gift-wrapped the present for them as well. For the first time this season, the covered end went quiet for the rest of the first half. I think the fans have realised that this squad isn't good enough for this league. Too many individual errors have cost us dear. The only hope I can now see is that Hull City will continue to be an utter freefall and will go down instead of us. If we don't beat them next week, then I don't feel that we have any right to stay up. If we fail to string some results together, in all probability, the three clubs that came up from League One last season will go straight back down again. The gulf between the Championship and League One appears to be growing. There's still hope, but the players have to believe that they can do it and stick to the game plan that Bowyer and Jackson set out for them. Yeah, here's hoping. Yeah, I can't imagine it's something you actually seen too often now. all three promoted clubs going down. I'd have to look at the stats.
It'd be interesting to see when that last happened, yeah. Because normally you get the impetus of promotion, especially whoever wins it.
Mm.
Normally whoever wins League One, I think, then goes on a bit of a run and does really well the following season in the Championship. Of course, Luton have bucked that trend.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? Just, again, a way of showing that we have perhaps overachieved in some ways, that we've managed to be above those two.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what the stats are regarding the side that comes up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
How many survive. But, I mean, most people had us down for relegation candidates for this season. So we are where most people expected us to be. It's just, as we've said before, that run at the beginning of the season where everything seemed to click and we were on fire has at least allowed us to have belief that we can get out of it. And I'm still on the positive side of that.
Well, Mendonca and Asda said that we lost the match in the first 20 minutes. Why can't we do this to other teams? I mean, there's a few things I look that we give to other teams that I wish we'd do it more. Other teams would do it more often for us, yeah. Like the gift wrapping of goals. I mean, it doesn't happen too much. I was thinking when Jeff Cameron, the QPR defender, couldn't clear his lines properly with a header in added time that Naby Sarr scored. We don't often get goals as handed to us on a plate, do we?
No, we don't. And it's symptomatic of us, I think, that we have to craft and we have to work hard for our goals. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. And we shouldn't expect gifts necessarily. We just have to stop giving them.
Yeah, it's not even the season anymore. Over Christmas, you'd understand it. Ryan McSquared says, the way things are going, Fortress Valley will have to be renamed Tent Valley. Let's hope the Grim Reaper doesn't reappear. Things are starting to look very dodgy, with one sloppy goal seeming to be enough to take care of us. Squeaky bum time has most definitely dawned. Sadly, it's not the last chance saloon time, but three defeats on the spin speaks for itself. It's now or never. I mean, that is one of the... You can't let a bad run go on and on and on, because we saw how difficult it can be to get out of that. And if you get dragged down into one of those runs, then the mentality will be on the floor.
Well, especially this part of the season, you absolutely can't. And where we are, we go on that run, then we're down. So we've got to pick up two or three wins somehow, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, all right. Now, Tom Van Der Steen emails in saying, yesterday I failed to take anyone's advice and stay off social media after the game. So apologies, but here goes my rant. I have to say the defeatist response to these results is disappointing. First of all, this is where we all said we would be at the start of the season. We had the lowest budget at the start of the season and we lost top players from the previous season. Secondly, the injury period was arguably the worst known to the club in recent years. We took 8 points from a possible 45. Note, if we didn't have that period, or even to the extent and say just got two or three additional wins over those 3 months, we would be mid-table now. Yes, it's ifs and buts, but you cannot prepare for a crisis like that at any level. Finally, like you guys have said in previous weeks, those results happened at the start of the season. We cannot discount them. We have, in some instances, outplayed some of the best teams in this league. That says to me that we have it in us to do it again. Gallagher and Lecco were great for us, but I do not believe that losing them turns us from one of the most exciting teams in the league to one of the worst. Yes, we are seriously lacking confidence, but it's forcing us to make these individual errors that are uncharacteristic. But come on, Bayer. The people saying Bayer out, they've got to give me a break. Last point, great show as always. Yeah, cheers for that. Tom in Cheshire. Yeah, I mean, we have seen one or two. There was a thread I noticed on the forum last night about Bayer, about getting Bayer out of his job. I mean, you have to take into account how badly he's had his hands tied behind his back in terms of, you know, the transfer window under both ownerships, really. I guess he hasn't had much money to spend. And, of course, the injury crisis. I mean, he's shown what he can achieve last season, a team that was never expected to get promoted. And, obviously, we started off like a house on fire this season. Yes, we've hit the expected bit of trouble, but we are still within a shout of staying up in this. If we stay up in this division this season, that'd be a remarkable achievement.
I have plenty of time and patience and understanding of people who are panicking, or people who are... worried, nervous, and even having a pop at players saying they're not good enough, and because that's opinions about the position we're in. I get it, I understand it, and put up with it because I do understand where they're coming from. The one thing I don't grasp, and I really can't understand, is the thought of getting rid of Lee Bowyer. Just makes absolutely zero sense to me, and I just don't know where it comes from, other than blind panic. What possible use would it serve? And who are you going to get in for a start? I mean, to right the ship, as it were. Because most people are saying, right, it's down to individual mistakes, it's down to this, it's down to that. And most of them aren't in control, Bowyer hasn't been in control of. So we know how good a manager is. He, you know, everybody last year when we got to Wembley and we got up, pretty much everybody saying, you know, we got our Charlton back. This, you know, we identify with Charlton, and that's at a point where we still had the old ownership. You know, so to there's lots of understanding I've got for people panicking and in the position we're in, but that's not one of them.
Mm, yeah, there we go. Right, next email comes in from Steve. So Saturday was very disappointing. I sit in the northwest quadrant with my four-year-old son. And once again, we had fans fighting amongst each other, adults. Well, that's sad to read. Fans booing rather than getting behind the team, and the abuse being shouted at Dylan Phillips from the north stand. I wonder how long until the fans turn on Lee Bowyer. We gave away a silly goal once again. But hey, next week we could go again at Hull. Love the show, and let's hope for 3 points next Saturday. Come on, you Reds. Yeah, that's cheers for Steve. Yeah, and certainly frustrations boiling over in some aspects there in the crowd as well, which is bad to see. Right, Sammy, I like this email. I read this earlier. Not a fan of fans holding on to the match ball normally. However, Borough got a corner, and when the ball went out of play, it came straight to me. Tavernere came running over, telling me to hurry up and give the ball back because he could see we were light at the back. So I gave it the old scouse, calm down, and he started giving it back. A lovely round of applause by the home fans whilst I made sure the players were organised. Did you see this, Terry?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, he says the next time he came over, they were winning. He shouted 1-0 at me. Oi, what's the score? Then he did 1-0 with his hands. Fair play to him, appreciating the banter and giving it back. It's a completely pointless story, but that was only my highlight. That was my only highlight from yesterday. Hull was another great chance to climb out of the relegation zone and put it back in our hands. We need somehow to keep positive and back Bowes and the players. Yeah, I like that, Sammy. And that is good, actually. I do like when players give it back to a fan because they've done something, like Sammy said, he's then suck it up and take
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. And Sammy's clearly taken that in the right spirit, and the player as well, so well done. I can't stand it when players like howl abuse at opposition, when fans howl abuse at opposition players, and then they score and they shush them, and then they'll start moaning like Carlin or something last week. I mean, if you give it out, you've got to be prepared to take it.
The times when they give it the shush when people have done nothing to them, it tends to wind me up.
Mm.
I think Collins for Luton was one of them when they scored. I mean, nobody had been given Luton any
Harry Cornick, wasn't it? Yeah, he'd done it last year as well, and they lost both times. Exactly,
So that's a bit I don't get. But if you're a bit like with Carlin, if you're going to give the abuse, you got to expect to get a bit back.
Yeah. Right, Derek emails in. Hi, guys. I was at the game yesterday and was as disappointed as everyone else with the result and the performance. It's very worrying that we now seem to think just lumping the ball forward is the best way to score when our early season good form was based on playing through the midfield. I know we are without Conor Gallagher now, but we don't seem to have the confidence or ability to retain possession long enough to fashion opportunities for the forwards. It did seem from the Birmingham game onwards that teams sussed out that if they pressed us high up the pitch, it can cause mass panic, a big hoof and a loss of possession. Is that a mental thing though? Unless Lee can find a way of rediscovering at least some of those successful early season patterns of play, I fear the worst. However, booing the players is counterproductive, and I urge all of our fans to get behind Lee and the team, whatever the performance and the result. The players are exhibiting enough nervousness as it is, and Barrackenham won't help. Fingers crossed we can get the results to keep us up. He then adds, when is Matt Southall coming on the show? Lots of fans on social media appear to be querying ESI's commitment to the cause. I think it would be good to hear some words of reassurance from him about the position and his support for Lee and the team at this crucial time. Cheers for producing what is always an enjoyable show. Yeah, cheers, Derek. Yeah, I have asked a question about Matt via the club's press, but obviously I need to press that a bit harder, really, because Matt's got his own press people as well, so maybe I'll drop them a message as well, because it'd be great to have Matt on the show. Maybe he could be able to sort of ease a few fears or something.
Yeah, it'd be nice, and I think it will ease a few. I think it won't appease those who have already made their minds up, I suspect, but yeah, it'd be a nice touch, and I don't see, I mean, so far Matt Southall's come across as a very accessible person and always open to talk, so I don't see why he wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it's timing as well, because I think I'm not sure if he's still up in Manchester or not, but obviously Sundays are the day we're on, and probably the only day he gets with his family. Yeah. So we'll try and sort that one out and do something together. Right, this is from Millie. Hi, guys. Great podcast. Cheers, Millie. It's very worrying being in the bottom three, but it is only 2 points. I think we all need to stick together. The players are going to need us. Silly mistakes cost us, but we all know what this team is capable of. They need the mental strength now. It's in our hands. We need to go to Hull and own that game. We've got 9 cup finals with 27 points still up for grabs. It's not over until Leeds away, or at least until we are mathematically safe. I really believe we will stay up, but they need to keep their heads up. Yeah, I am enjoying the fact that Leeds seem to be rampant again, because hopefully they'll be sorted before the end of the season. Yeah, exactly. And they'll want to help out their old mate.
We'll have an end of season party.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Right, David says, hi guys, listen to the Lee Bowyer interview saying we rarely win when teams match us up, but it seems if we play 5 at the back or in the diamond, we get hurt in wide positions because we are so exposed in wide positions. Surely try and... the 4-4-2 is an option. Well, we did see that yesterday. Went to a flat 4-4-2. I mean, there was clearly an improvement. There is something that we've played a lot. I think we did play it when he first came in a couple of times, a flat 4-4-2, back in League One, the first season he came. So, I mean, do you think that's something that he might try a bit more often?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Again, it depends on the personnel we've got available as well. But there's still that, you know, when we come up against players, teams that played at Diamond, and they've got that sort of rogue defensive midfield player or rogue central midfield player that can drift about, and if we're in a rigid formation, we don't seem to be able to cope with it. I'd just like to see us, not necessarily match up, but if they've got that playmaker very early on and you can see it, or you must know it by looking at footage of previous games, then target that person so they're not able to dictate play.
All right, Lee Chapman. The games that bug me are Bristol City away, Millwall away, Sheffield Wednesday away, Huddersfield at home, Hull at home, Cardiff at home. That's 7 points dropped in after 85 minutes in most cases there. Keep them and we're in a decent position point-wise. Yeah, I mean, that is, I can't do nothing about that now. But
it makes really depressing hearing when it's listed like that.
Yeah. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton. I've still got more of your messages to come to in about 30 seconds or so.
Taylor slowly walks, still now into the penalty area. Lyle Taylor up against the goalkeeper. Taylor steps up, strikes, yes! And scores! Calm as you like from Lyle Taylor. And Charlton have that second that they've been dying to get.
Right, welcome back. Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. Don't forget we'll be back here on Thursday to look ahead to the game against Hull City next week. That's a bloody big one, isn't it? So make sure you join us on Thursday for the big match preview as we look ahead to that game. We've got a few more tweets that came in. Alex says, the goals are drying up because our attacking play is completely predictable. We can't keep a clean sheet to save our lives. Bayer needs to change how we play and get us keeping possession and defending with the ball. I don't think he or the team have it in them, unfortunately. I mean, I guess there's an argument to be said that if you're too slow in possession and you keep it for too long, then obviously then teams can get set behind us. And I've tried to think of some of our better goals this season have come from quick breaks on turnover of play or getting the ball forward quickly. I'm just thinking back to that first goal we scored at Fulham away, for example. You know, Derby. When we actually turn possession over and we try and catch teams out while they're still trying to get back into possession, that seems to be where we can be at our best. But I guess when you're not scoring any goals, you take them whichever way they come right.
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we seem to have lost that incisiveness that we had where, you know, everybody was moving, everybody was seemed to know where the pass was coming, and the fluidity we had seems to have slightly disappeared. And that might be down to nerves, it might be down to personnel. So we haven't got Conor Gallagher anymore, who was fairly... a focal point in all of those moves.
Yeah, scores just coming from elsewhere. England have beaten Japan by a goal to nil in the She Believes Cup, a late goal from Ellen White to recover from that opening defeat against the USA. So well done to the Lionesses. They're right. Prattley's pocket says we are the masters of our own downfall. Playing out from the back with a technically limited defence doesn't work. Against Bristol, we were pretty direct and we won. Lee Johnson commented on how physical Lyle and Maka were. Bowes needs to change things or he is out on the line. Yeah, so if you think of all three of the goals in that game, all came from like sort of quick long balls over the top. The first one that Bond caught the keeper off the line. The second one was a long one that Bond challenged for. The third one, I think it was Locke who played it down the channel for Bond to square for Doughty. And that's for me is when we're at the best, not when we're trying to weave our way through a team that we've allowed to set and to get back into shape.
Especially when straight from Dylan Phillips. There was a couple of times yesterday, and to be fair, I think it was Shotton, wasn't it, who had a decent game. But I don't think he was pressed enough. And we didn't hit the angles enough until Macaulay Bond came on, and then we started to do that. And we did turn them and put them under pressure. And that's, you know, that's when we looked slightly more threatening. Still didn't score, mine, but I think it depends on the team you come up against. You know, we could come up against Hull and it's completely different. Their two best players could be their two centre-halves, in which case we've got to think of something else.
So we look scared and negative passing backwards, which cost us another goal up front. We need Lyle to stay on his feet and hold the ball up. We are lacking leaders. Borough had far too much time in midfield, and once again, they were overlapping our fullbacks with ease. Hull is massive. Steve Nutley will be disappointed. Said I was looking forward to Tom Wallin putting a good spin on this one this evening. He always picks me up when I hear his positivity. Well, I'm just going on his Twitter page. He's still reasonably positive. Nine to go. Let's get the hell out of the bottom three biggest games now against Hull. They're all big now. Right, Hendrick says, our so-called fans use the ownership as a complete excuse. Like when we went down before, it was all Roland's fault. Now we're struggling. It's East Street Investment's fault. The truth of the matter is the fake fans don't like going when we are losing. That's the truth. I have said from day one this season, without investment, our squad is full of average to lower League One players. We are punching to be still in with a shout of staying up, but our so-called fans are deluded to think otherwise. With players like Bond, Phillips, Saar, Lockyer, you're not going to be challenging for the playoffs. We never will. The club needs new players in to be realistic. Unfortunately, our fake fans think the players we have are good enough, and this is why we're always struggling. I mean, there's a few contradictions there, implying that you can't blame the owners and then talking about investment. I mean, I think you sort of at cross wires there a little bit. And also, I mean, implication that the fans only wanted to stay away when we're in League One because we're in League One. I mean, if you look at the contrast in attendances the last time we're in League One under Parkey and Powley, I mean, that was 4,000 or 5,000 more people here per game.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with the fake fan comment. I think that, you know, we've got great support. Generally speaking, we've got great support. What we have now, of course, and it's a society thing for me, not just a Charlton thing, is this instant gratification. You need results now. You need them instantly. There's no building anymore. They see ESI come in with the potential cash that they might have, and they want instant results. They want fans want us to be at the top of the table straight away because of what's happened. Whereas life generally doesn't tend to be like that. And I do wonder sometimes how people would have coped back in. People are probably going to be bored of me saying something like this, and fed up. But back in Lenny Lawrence's time, when we were absolutely struggling from time to time,
during the war,
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and I apologise for saying it, but I still think it's true that when we were playing at that place in Surrey, and Lenny Lawrence was trying to get us just keep us in the top division, we had some hairy moments, and I'm not entirely sure quite a few of the fans that are screaming now would have survived that.
Right, Sarah Saunders, I'm trying to stay positive. Another one is going to be disappointed, but at which point are we allowed to stop believing without being told we're being negative? My faith is being tested. Is Tom Wallin still feeling like we'll be okay? I'm hoping tonight you guys can make me feel positive again. Well, Tom did respond to that, saying I'm feeling okay, but definitely not quite as confident as I was. One win, though, will change everything.
We'll be all right, Sarah.
Yeah.
Promise you.
We'll be fine, yeah. I'll play that at the end when we get relegated.
forget it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Sebo, I asked what people think we need to do to tighten up the back. Sebo says we need to get Naby in. Phil says it's too late. We needed a centre-half in January, but we got four midfielders. Why? I mean, that's something that's come up a few times now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, again, it's probably because of I wouldn't say panic's probably the right word, but because of the way the January transfer window panned out, we lost Conor Gallagher, so we needed to replace him. When you consider that we had Pearce, Saar, Lockyer, Prattley, who can play at the back, Desi Oshilo, that's five centre-halves we've got in the squad. I think that's enough. I mean, the fact that then you lose three of them through injury isn't necessarily something you'd predict. So I think the trying to replace the focal point of our, in my opinion, where our weaknesses was, where weakness were, and probably still is in that midfield, because that's where we seem to be losing games for me. So I can understand why it was, and I wouldn't have expected. I think if we'd have gone out and bought two centre-halves, and no midfield players, then the same argument and same criticism would have been levied, I think.
Yeah. Into the blue. This may be controversial, but how about when we get a throw in, then throw the bloody ball down the line 20 or 30 metres rather than backwards. Overload on that wing, make the opposition panic and kick it out again. Gain territory, head towards their goal. Frustrated?
At last. How many times I've been banging that particular drum for years. It really annoys me when we go backwards.
Is it Liverpool you have a throwing coach now, I think it is? I think it's Liverpool you have a throwing coach. Do you think we need one?
It just puts us immediately on the back foot, and especially when you're struggling a little bit. And all right, sometimes it can see that you're just throwing it down the line for positional play. But I can understand that point of view. But, you know, how many times have we lost possession throwing it backwards and then going across and put ourselves under pressure?
That's what Carl's saying as well. I don't know if I've ever known a team to be so bad at throw-ins that we have been this season. We must lose the majority of them. The amount of times I've seen us try and get away with foul throws as well. That's another one. Right, Jake wants to see us play a solid 4-4-2. Lockyer and Saar, centre-back. We owned the game when we changed it to that yesterday. Yep. Just lacking confidence up top, but that lucky ball isn't quite falling, but it will. There's still 9 games left to go. We don't do it easy. That's the Charlton that we know and that we love. Right, John says we need to tell the side to relax a bit. We started taut and tense. It doesn't help when the manager goes from "I told them they're good players" to "we're not good enough" to concede the first goal. I mean, obviously, there was some frustration there when he said that we're not good enough to concede the first goal. We're not good enough to give away the first goal. And that, I mean, clearly that's frustration coming through there from Bowie.
It is, because that wasn't the case last season. Look what happened to Wembley. Conceded the first goal, we came back and won it. So,
yeah. I mean, that's a good example of giving away the first goal.
Yeah,
gift wrapped.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think that's probably more of a statement out of frustration more than anything else, because certainly, yeah, we've lost characters in the side and players in the side from last season, and good players at that. And you'd probably argue that we haven't necessarily replaced like for like. And then Conor Gallagher going as well is the same. So I think I get what Bowie was trying to get at, and especially at the moment, he's probably right as well. At the moment, in the position we're in and the way we're playing, we're probably not good enough to come back from a goal.
Yeah, well, Tom says yet again another gutless defeat where we didn't score. Other than a 10-minute spell in the second half, we were awful. Why did we resort to long ball for the entire second half? ESI's poor January could cost us dearly. Let's hope they've got big money for a summer rebuild. The only way we'll stay up is if Hull lose every game between now and the end of the season, or Sheffield Wednesday are deducted 21 points. So
both of which are possible.
Yeah, well, yeah, they are. Birmingham got away with it. Birmingham were found not guilty.
The EFL might appeal that, though, I've heard.
Imagine if like the entire bottom three stay up because
because Derby, Birmingham and Sheffield Wednesday all get points deducted.
That'd be magic, wouldn't it?
That'd be funny.
Yeah, be deserved. Just the luck we need. So I did put it out there on Twitter this afternoon, and I'm going to get to as many of your tweets as possible, but I did ask how you rate our chances of avoiding the dreaded drop back into League One. CFC Facts and Stats said fair to middling. John Cooper says that next Saturday really could be make or break. We must beat Hull. The players need to be fired right up for it and go at it from the off. Danny says, don't you feel though that Bowyer looks dejected all the time now? He is a born winner and playing with fire in his belly. He doesn't seem to get that the players fired up as he used to be. I mean, Bowyer looks dejected always. The only time he's looked not dejected was about for half a second after Patrick Bowyer's goal. Wimbley, he started running down the touchline, and then he remembered himself and started looking dejected again on the touchline. So, I mean, he does always look like that.
He doesn't show his emotions immediately, Lee Bowyer. I think that's fair. But I think I wouldn't necessarily agree that the players aren't out there with fire in their belly. I think one of the frustrations for me yesterday in the first half was that we seemed to be running around like headless chickens chasing shadows. There was no fault from my side about trying to put the effort in. It was just that we were just not effective at all. And then I don't agree that it was only a 10-minute spell second half. I thought we were much better in the second half, totally. But the fact is we still didn't score regardless, and that's something we've got to change.
Yeah, right. So Neil Stevens says we've got a 50-50 chance of staying up. Nothing has been decided in this division yet, and it never will be until the very end. Paul says if we play like the first half yesterday, then we've got absolutely no chance. George says if we lose next week, then it's all over. Daniel says if we win next week, then we'll be okay. I'd like to see Naby and Tom back in because we lacked pace at the back and the distribution wasn't very good either, especially in the first half. Glimpses in the second, but we lacked quality. Mike says we need people to stand up and be counted. We need a win at least within one of the next two games to have any chance. Right, Pete Howarth says unsure why we didn't play with two up front from the start. We bullied last Saturday and this weekend shocking, another defensive error. We played with more fight when we played the kids over Christmas period. We're missing Gallagher big time. Richard Justin says, it's worth noting that all three of the deadline day signings in Davis, McGeady and Smith were unused yesterday. Why didn't we improve other positions if we prefer other players? I mean, it's something that keeps coming up again and again, doesn't it, Tal?
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with, you know, when people say, well, hold on, you've got Davis, McGeady and Smith, and, you know, they were all our January signings and they're not playing. I think you tried McGeady last week against Huddersfield in that formation, and as good as McGeady is on the ball, it meant there were gaps in defence or in his role. Because, you know, we rely heavily on everybody helping everybody else. Do you know what I mean? We have to play as a committed side, and I think that was probably found a little bit wanting. And maybe it's because he hasn't played enough football. I don't know. But Davis for me is a strange one, because I think he was always probably only signed for cover for the likes of Prattley and Cullen, because I don't think you can get away with paying all three of them in the same side. They're all too similar. I think there isn't even an argument for saying maybe you can't play Cullen and Prattley in the same side. Maybe we haven't got enough bodies to be able to get away with not doing that. Smith, I have no idea, because I don't know what he brings.
Yet,
so I can't really say one way or the other.
Right, Mark, I said, how do you rate our chances of staying up? He says, if the fans don't moan and groan over a misplaced pass within the first 2 minutes, then maybe we'll stand a chance. Right, we've run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. Thanks to those of you who've listened all the way to the very end. It's absolutely flown by this evening. And time fly when you're in the relegation zone. And it will do, because the games will start running out quicker and quicker. But anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for Terry for coming in.
Thank you.
And to Mark Newbury, who was here earlier. And of course to Lee Bowyer, who came to speak to Terry for Charlton Live yesterday. Don't forget then, we'll be back on Thursday evening to look ahead to next Saturday's massive, massive game up at Hull, where we desperately need to win 3 points. Lee Bowyer has described it as a must-win game in our interview with him earlier, so let's hope that will be what happens. I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening to the show. We shall see you back here on Thursday evening.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.